whoop whoop for the weekend. It has really helped us, shape us, mold our minds, move us in a new trajectory. We are excited to hear what the word of the Lord is. So would my sister friend please come and minister to the people of God. Amen. I love this woman of God, in case y'all don't know.
For a moment and go out and get you another one. My sister don't play about coffee. Y'all stopped me. I was like waiting for the happy birthday. Happy birthday. You know, you gotta do the whole chorus part. Because that's when you get to hunch your shoulders. Mm. Happy birthday. That makes the rest of it like when you come back in and you go, happy. Yeah, no, yeah, I'm sorry. I just got a little excited about it. Yeah, you know. You know. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, you are so good, so amazing, so wonderful. Thank you for being with us today, all weekend, every day. No matter what the highs or the lows is, what the struggles may be and the celebrations, Lord, you are always present. So we thank you for your consistency in loving us. You are a consistent God. And you would never leave us nor forsake us. So even in this moment, Father, we ask you to have your way. Move by your spirit and by your power. Unleash your anointing and show forth your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to move to three different scriptures, and I'm going to actually four. And I'm going to we've been using these scriptures all weekend. And I want us to. So if you have a pen, you should write them down so you can move. We're going to do Matthew 5, 14 through 16. That's Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Acts 1 and 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Romans 1, 16, that's Romans 1, verse 16, and Zechariah 4 and 10, that's Zechariah 4 and 10. And we will probably go through a lot of scriptures on today because the word is just what solidifies God's movement in our lives. And so I'm grateful for that. But before I get in there, I want to honor my sister, Apostle Michelle Harding. I don't have words. There is no verbiage to articulate my heart towards her. She has not only been my sister, she has been a friend and a confidant. She has laughed with me when probably we should not have been laughing. But she has been real. She is someone that I can be human with. I don't always have to be Apostle Martina. I can be Tina. And everyone needs someone like that in their lives. And so I'm just grateful for you, my sister. Thank you for inviting me this weekend. I feel like I got more than I gave. I needed this weekend. I needed to be away. And even though I did get a lot of work done, because the systems just don't be working when you're trying to do payroll. But I did get a lot of rest on yesterday, and so I'm so grateful. I feel like God orchestrated this whole weekend for all of it. So thank you for that. Before I move into this word, I need to first share that sometimes you get a prophetic word, and we never go back and tell the person. Acts, yep, I'm going to go through them again. But that was Acts 1:4. We get a prophetic word. We never go back and tell the person, yep, that word came to pass. We take it and we run with it. And people need to know that when they speak into your life that, yeah, God, he did that thing. And so I don't remember exactly when it was. It was about 4 or 5 years ago. I was sitting in this church. I believe I was sitting on the second row on this side. And Greg Harding gave me a prophetic word. And he began to talk about this horse that was running around in the corral and running in circles. I don't remember it verbatim, but he also mentioned in that prophetic word about a Corvette. And it couldn't get up to speed because it was going around in this corral. But when the door was opened, it was able to do what it was created to do. And at the time, Brother Greg, you did not know that I felt like a caged bird. I was sitting in the midst of a ministry. I was giving my all in all. It just seemed like I could not break free in that time, and I refused to discuss it because one of the things that we do is when things don't go right in the church, we quick to down the church. But let me be clear about something. When any husband that has a wife is not going to sit by and let you talk about his wife. And the church is the bride of Christ. And if you think that God is going to let you sit and talk about his bride, you got another thing coming. And so I was sitting and I wanted to be quiet because I didn't know what God was doing. I was feeling like it was time to move to another assignment, but I didn't know what that assignment was. And so when you don't know what to do, you stand still so you can see the salvation of the Lord. And so I sat still. I did not make any moves until God began to speak. But I want you to know that the moment that God brought back that prophetic word, it was like somebody opened up that corral and let me out. And the moment I got out from till this day, I have had nothing but blessings in my life. My mind has expanded beyond what I ever thought that my mind would expand. My education has grown. I've gained 2 degrees since I got out of that corral. I have got blessings on top of blessings. When I say blessings, I'm talking about in my marriage, in my home, on my job. I literally just got another raise and promotion at the beginning of this year. And every time God does something, he reminds me of that prophetic word that I got sitting in here. You didn't have to open your mouth, but you did. And you did not know that that word was a lifeline to me because I was about to give it all up. Not commit suicide. I like life and I love me. But I was really about to just walk away from a lot of things because I was so frustrated. But that word liberated me. I sat there and I was like, God, okay. I hear you. When is it going to happen? And it didn't happen overnight because that was about 4 or 5 years ago. But the corral gate opened in 2022. And I have been running and God has been performing that word ever since. So I just want to say thank you. You are a prophet of the living God and God uses you to proclaim his word. It was detailed. If no one ever anoints you or ordains you as a prophet of the Lord, God already has. And so I thank you for being obedient. Yeah, I got it all. I'm glad I didn't go buy a Corvette. I got that Jeep and that thing got me a ticket. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So let me just give these scriptures again. Matthew 5 verses 14 through 16, Acts 1 and 8, Romans 1, 16, and Zechariah 4, 10. I'm going to read each of those. Matthew 5, 15 and 16. I'm going to read 15 and 16. Probably 14. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of this gospel about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The 7 lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. Somebody shouting hallelujah. Church, on this morning, I came to remind you that we are not saved to sit, but we are saved to be sent. You are not redeemed to be silent. We are redeemed to be witnesses. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city sat on a hill cannot be hid. In the Greek, the words you are is emphatic, means that it's said with emphasis. You already are who he says you are. You are not becoming the light. You don't grow into the light. By birth, you are the light. A city on a hill. I want you to think of a Galilean hill town lit at night. I want you to think about how it looks when you're driving on a highway and you see a city afar off and all of the big buildings are lit up with lights. It cannot be hidden. It is impossible. Your born again identity refuses invisibility. Then Acts 1:8 declares, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Power is dunamis or dunamis. It is God's enabling miracle working power. Witnesses, as in martyrs or martyr. It started out martyrs and then translated later on into martyrs, meaning not just talkers, but testifiers whose very lives validate the message even at a cost. And notice that the map that God is giving us in the scripture tells us Jerusalem, which was their home, tells us Judea, which was the region, tells us Samaria, which is across differences or different zones, and to the ends of the earth, which means outreach starts at home but ends up becoming global. I want you to tell your neighbor, you got power. Now tell them, use it. Power for outreach comes from the Spirit. It does not come from us. Outreach without the Spirit is empty. Mm-hmm. We can have flyers, we can have microphones, we can even have a budget. But without the Holy Ghost, nothing breaks, nothing changes, nothing lives, nobody can go further, no bondage is broken. We need the Holy Ghost that gives us power. Glory be to God. Acts 1:8 talks about them getting the Holy Ghost. When power comes upon you, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power. But before they got the power, I want to remind you that back in Luke 24:49, Jesus gave them a command. He said, tarry until you be endued with power. Means you got to wait on God. It doesn't happen overnight. You got to wait on God. You can't just talk to God. I know I'm a big prayer. I like to do intercession. But after you done talking to God, you got to sit and wait on God to speak back. Because prayer is intercession. It is not about a one-way conversation. God wants to say something to you. And he told his disciples, tarry until that power comes for you. In other words, strategies come, hallelujah, after saturation. You got to be saturated with the Holy Ghost. You got to be saturated with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we need strategy. We need power. The kingdom of hell, hallelujah, is very organized. They got rankings. Imps, demons, princes, right? And God would also want us to be organized,
right? There's levels to everything that we do in life. We cannot just approach everything as if we know it all. The Bible says we know in part, which is why we got to do things in community and with one another. Glory be to God. And so we need the power of God to deal with the different levels of demons that we will encounter while we are doing outreach. We need power. We need power. We don't just need hype. We don't need to just go to the dopest church or the one that is the most filled. Hallelujah. We need heaven's ability to operate in our human weakness. When we don't know the scripture, glory be to God, the Bible says he will bring back to our remembrance those things we have studied. Glory be to God. So we don't need to memorize scripture. We need to read it. Glory be to God. We need to sit with it. We need to meditate on it so that when we are out talking to someone, whether it's on our job in the supermarket, God will bring back the right scripture for that person for the right time. He says we will be martyrs, or it becomes martyr. Martyrs, M-A-R-T-Y-S, means witness. It means our lives become the evidence. The Spirit doesn't just give us a message, people of God. He makes us the message. We become the message. Luke 24:49 was fulfilled in Acts 2:1-4 and 2:41. When the day of Pentecost fully comes, the Spirit falls. I don't know about nobody else, but I felt like in worship, glory be to God, on today, the Spirit of God fell in this place. I was in that corner. I didn't care who was looking at me or who saw me. Tears were rolling down my face because I felt the presence of God. Glory be to God. And wherever the presence of God is, there is liberty. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father, we love you on this morning. The same Peter who caved under pressure now preaches with boldness in these scriptures. He had no lights. He had no ads. He had no microphone. He just had fire. Glory be to God. And 3,000 received the word on that day and received Jesus as their personal savior and became part of the family of God. That's what the Spirit will do. He will empower us. Hallelujah. And when we are spirit empowered, there comes conviction. There comes clarity. There becomes conversion. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, he said, my speech was not with enticing words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul wasn't trying to sound eloquent. Paul wasn't branding himself as we see preachers do today. I remember one of my spiritual sons told me, he said, look, mom, before you go live, he was like, do your makeup, do your hair. I said, well, who I'm selling, me or Jesus? I told them over the weekend, I said, I'm an ex-drug dealer. I sold so many drugs. I drove a 944 Porsche. God didn't change who I was. He changed my product. Hey, Ramashanda Bahaya. I no longer have to push dope. Now I can push Jesus. He's the best product. Nobody can outdo him. Nobody can get you higher. Nobody can get you drunker. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Paul said, it ain't with enticing words that I come to talk to you. Why? Because his faith rested in God, not himself. How do we get here? How do we get to the order, hallelujah, to be able to walk this out like Paul walked it out? Well, number one, you got to pray. Outreach flows from intercession. We can't speak for a God we don't speak to. I'm not scared of the silence. That tells me I just need to let it sit there a little while. Many of us want to get up and speak for God. I ain't spoke to him in a month. No, you got to pray. You got to be in conversation with him so he can talk to you after you done talking to him. Well, you got to pray, and it can't be your list of things that you want. right? No, God, what do you want? God, what's my assignment for the day, Father? Father, who should I be praying for, Father? Who should I be lifting up, God? Whose bill do I need to pay on today, God? Who do I need to pay attention to? Father, open up my eyes to be able to see the opportunities. We got to talk to him, and then we got to let him talk to us. Second, we got to wait and obey. Mm-hmm. We don't move until he moves. John 5:19 says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, the Son does also. So why do we move when the very Son of God don't move until God says move? We got to stand still, hallelujah, until he speaks. And when he speaks, we got to do what he says do. Not water it down, not make it fit our convenience, but do exactly what God tells for us to do. Number three, go in unity. This is an everyday personal walk outreach. Yes, it is, but it is also a collective work. We must be on one accord. The Bible declares when they were on one accord, then the suddenly came. Hallelujah. One accord precedes the suddenly. You don't get the suddenly until you have one accord. Number four, expect gifts up to operate. Compassion, wisdom, healing. I know we always talk about the gifts that are in Ephesians, hallelujah, but there's some Corinthian gifts, glory be to God, that we need to be operating in, hallelujah, that God gives to us. Our gifts, hallelujah, are gifts of power. It's power to witness, power to pray, power to love, power to endure, power to walk with people, power to reach the nations, hallelujah. I come to ask you on this morning, do you know you got power? So we have to know that we got power. That power of outreach, it comes, hallelujah, from the Spirit of God. Number two, outreach starts small, but it impacts big. The enemy will whisper to you, you're too small. He'll tell you that there's not enough people. He'll tell you there's not enough money. He'll tell you, you're not enough. But the word of God says otherwise. In Zechariah 4:6-10, hallelujah, the Bible tells us that God gives Zechariah a vision to encourage Zerubbabel. Why? Because when you look in chapter 3, because chapter 4 begins with therefore or then, you got to go back and you realize that the enemy was talking much trash, hallelujah, to Yeshua and to Zerubbabel. Glory be to God. And so while the enemy may be talking trash, God begins to send somebody to be able to tell them what the Lord is going to do. That the governor is rebuilding the room and temple. It will happen. Israel compares their little formation to Solomon's form of glory and despises their smallness. How many times have God told you to do something and you compare yourself to somebody else? Glory be to God. I can't say it the way they say it. I can't preach it the way they preach it. I can't do it the way they do it. Glory be to God. You got to know who you are in God, and you have to embrace your individuality, and you have to know that God is gifting you, and in the personality that you have, God will use you. When I first got called to preach the gospel, I used to say, God, I can't preach like they preach. God, I can't do like they do. I said, matter of fact, God, I don't even know why you chose me. You had so many other choices to choose from. But God used my personality. He used my talents. He didn't say, Tina, I don't want to use you because all you know how to do is sell. He said, I'll just give you something better. Glory be to God. I'll give you something better to move with, something better to present to the people. So while you're trying to be like somebody else, the blessing and the anointing that God has forged out for you is trying to find the real you, but you're too busy trying to be the fake you. I believe everybody puts forth the fake person first. Glory to God. In my psych class, they talk about the fake person. You know the one that when you first meet people, you want to act like you're real, real nice, knowing you're not. You know the one that got the church lingo. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. I'm so blessed, I'm not stressed, destined for success, and refuse to settle for less. No, God, you went through what you went through. You grew up how you grew up. Hallelujah. Because God is going to use it all. Doesn't Romans 8:28 says he makes all things work together for the good of them that love him and are the called according to his purpose? You think God's purpose changes because of the way you grew up? Glory be to God. No, God will use it all for his purpose. Glory to God. Glory to God. Zechariah 4:6, he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Human muscle, military might, political pull, nothing can compare to the power of God. Hallelujah. He has made kingdoms fall. He has made kings die. Glory be to God. His power is above every other power. Zechariah 4:10, who hath despised the day of small things? God rejoices to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Heaven celebrates, hallelujah, hallelujah, when we start seeing small things become big things. Small in our hand becomes magnificent in God's hands. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And you may say, well, prove it. You just pulled out Zerubbabel. Well, let's look at Judges 7. God trims Gideon's army from 32,000 down to 300. So the victory shouts God's glory and not their own. John 6:9-13, we see, hallelujah, 5,000 plus, because it was 5,000 men, the Bible says. And we know there's probably three women to every man. So that's another 15,000. And that don't even count the churn. We see that God takes a boy's sandwiches and creates a whole spread for this great number of people. Matthew 13:32-31, the mustard seed is small, but we learned on yesterday that it'll grow into a big tree that will house families of birds. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave increase. Hallelujah. We do small faithfulness, God does great increase. So how does small begin? I'm so glad you asked me. One conversation at a bus stop. One prayer over a neighbor's need. One weekly act of random kindness becomes a habit. One partnership with a local school or pantry. One micro gathering. I'm still going to say it's coffee and conversations. Hallelujah. Each month. Don't wait for the crowd. Talk to one person. Don't wait for the stage. Stand on the sidewalk. Don't wait for the budget. Use what you got. Little becomes much in the hands of God. Turn to somebody and tell them what you have is enough. I'm going to get into my third point and get up out of here. Outreach is light in a dark world. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. You are that noun false. That noun light is false. Not a flashlight borrowed from someone else, but light by identity because you are in Christ. Hallelujah. If you need a reference, go to John 8:12, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Your union with him makes you a light. Hallelujah. A city sat on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus invokes this city setting on the Palestinian hills. It's public. It's visible. Glory be to God. It's guiding. Hallelujah. The grammar says it's impossible for true light to be hidden. You don't have to wear the Jesus t-shirt. Your light will tell them you are of another world. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Neither do people put a light. Hallelujah. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. A bowl, hallelujah, talks about a grain measure. It is this Greek word called medios, right? Modios. It's a bowl, a measuring bowl that they used in those times. It was everyday stuff. Glory be God. Jesus says, don't let everyday pressure smother your witness. I want to speak to my sister for a minute. Don't let the everyday pain of what you're going through muzzle your witness. The enemy wants to muzzle your mouth. He wants you to focus more on the pain. He wants you to focus on why me, God. But God has a miracle already en route to you. And you can't muzzle your mouth in these moments. God wants to use you that even in the midst, this is when your witness is the greatest, because people know what you're going through. And they're going to say, why she's still smiling? Why is she encouraging me when I should be encouraging her? Because I got the light of God on the inside of me, and nothing can smother my light. Hallelujah. Your light must be intentional. Hallelujah. When it's on a stand, everyone in the household gets to see. Everybody comes out of the dark. It is talking about you having a light with purpose, maximum effect. Maximum effect, intentional visibility. And then he says, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Because this is not about self-promotion. This is not about me getting the accolades or me robbing God of the attention that he should be getting in these moments of trials and tribulations. No, it is a pointing to God's mercy that reorients praise upward to the Father, even in the midst of calamity, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of heartbreak. I still give God what he is due, which is all glory and honor and praise, because it belongs to him. Paul echoes this identity in Ephesians 5 and 8. He says, you were in darkness, but now you are the light. So walk like you are. Walk like you are light. We can't be depressed. Walk like you the light. How do you stumble around in darkness? Glory be to God. It reminds me of a scripture. I believe it's in 2 Peter, where he talks about, it's no way you can say you love God and don't love your brother. He said, not only are you a liar if you say that, but literally you are walking darkness. Not walking in darkness. You are walking darkness. When you can say you love God, but you can't love your brother. He gave us a commandment that we must love our brother. Glory be to God. Philippians 2:15 tells us to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked generation. The darker it gets, the brighter we ought to be shining. Isaiah 60 and 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light has come. When his light arrives, your light arrives. So how does our light shine? Well, when we do good works that serve real needs, look at Matthew 25, 35 through 36. He will talk about things that are happening for the people of God. So no, good works don't save us. But faith without works is dead. When we use gracious speech, you know, Colossians talks about that speech in 4 and 6 that's seasoned with salt, right? When we use that kind of speech, when we're speaking to people, not harsh words, but hopeful words. When we are public, in the public and present, but we want to be saved, but we don't want to be saved in the public. We got to be saved in the public, right? And we got to consistently be saved in the public. Why? Because consistent visibility in the same places, whether it's a barbershop, nail salon, the marketplace, when you keep showing up and you keep showing up filled with the light, you keep showing up with the word of God, you keep showing up with the presence of God, you become known as the church that cares. You yourself are the church, not the brick and the mortar. You yourself are the church. And then they'll want to know, well, where do you church? Then you can say, oh, come over to Church of the King, because we got it going on. Oh, anywho, the digital porch, authentic posts, not the ones made up. We practice over the weekend, but what will you post today? What will you say to the people on the day? What will you text to the people that you that are in your phone? Hallelujah. When they call you or they text you with gossip, what will your response be? Will it be, child, tell me what happened? Or will it be, let's pray for them right now? You are the ones that God is depending on. You are his hands and feet in Christ in the community. He is looking for you to continually be his light. So shine, lights of God. Shine in your home. Shine on your job. Shine in your school. Shine in your family. Shine in your neighborhood. Shine at the grocery store, the bus stop, until everybody around you begins to shine. What must I do to be saved is what they should be calling out when you are shining in them. I'm going to ask you one more question, and I know I've asked you a lot, but will you shine on today? In my closing, I want to reiterate, what is outreach? It is not a program. It's purpose. It's not an event. It's an identity. Hallelujah. It's not about hot dogs and bounce houses and spending all of this money on ads. It is about the Holy Ghost and him using you to preach his gospel. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. Paul intends to preach this message in Rome, which is the empire's proud capital, hallelujah. And he knows that the gospel is being mocked as foolishness around that town. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yet he's unashamed because he knows what the gospel does. Does anybody in here know what the word of God does? Hallelujah. It has power. The gospel is not advice. It is power. It is God's power. He says, unto salvation, to everyone who believes. The door is open to all. No ethnic group, no social group. Hallelujah. No geographical barrier. It is open to all. The gospel is inclusive. It is not just for the church folk. It is for the drunkard. It is for the dope dealer. And yes, it is for the homosexual. Our loving God does not exclude. The gospel is open to all. Verse 17 tells us why the gospel is so powerful. For it is the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. God puts us right with himself through faith and then calls us to live by that faith. Glory be to God. So again, you don't need all the extra stuff. You don't need all of the events. They are cute and they will gather. Hallelujah. But what we really need is boldness. Hallelujah. We don't need the free hot dogs. What we need is fresh fire from the Holy Ghost. We don't need gimmicks. What we need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let me correct myself from something I said yesterday. I said, you can start with your testimony. But the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But if you're going to save and disciple people into Christ, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear about the cross. They need to hear about him being whipped. They need to hear about him being pierced in his side. They need to hear how he served the marginalized and the disenfranchised. They need to hear how he brought a mother's baby back from the dead in the Old Testament. They need to hear what God can do. And if he'll do it for them, he's a God that has no respect of persons. He will do it for them too. I want you to lift your hands and repeat something with me. Declare this like I'm about to give you that $1.1 billion. Lord, make me a witness. Lord, set me on fire again. Lord, send me with boldness and with love. Keep your hands lifted and close your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost. and the light of your word. Now send us into the highways and the hedges, into the neighborhoods and the schools, into the workplaces and the prisons. Let our speech be full of grace and seasoned with salt. Let our hands be ready to serve, our hearts ready to love, and our feet swift to go. We declare by faith on today, we will shine. We will serve, we will share, and we will see souls saved. We believe that your power is more powerful today than it's ever been. And so, Lord, we ask you to be with us. And in every situation, whether we are driving in our car and stop at a light, whether we are going through by the fast food window, whether we are sitting in restaurants, whether we are walking in the mall, Father, let our light so shine that they, Lord God, will be drawn to the anointing that you've placed on our lives. Give us bold speech. Give us words, Lord God, to speak that will cut through the marrow and the darkness of the lives we will encounter until they cry out, I yield, I yield. What must I do to be saved? This is our prayer on today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and glory to God.
Praise the Lord. My goodness, this has been a well worth it weekend, let me tell you. I know it was a sacrifice of time, and I appreciate it. I really do. One of the things I forgot to, Gregory Mind asked me this morning, are you going to take two offerings or separate? But I'm not going to do that. We've already raised the offering. But if you would like to sow more, I'm not going to just place it in the basket in the back, just as an extra special blessing for her. But again, I'm not going to pass the basket. The basket will be in the back at the table. If you would like to drop something off, then I just ask that you do that, and we will add that in with the offering that we'll be giving her. Okay? So thank you so much, Apostle Martina. I love you. I love you so much. And I just love the way that you were just poured into each of us, and just feel like we've been stretched and challenged, but the oil kept coming with it. So nothing was painful, right? It's like stretch and apply the oil so you can stretch a little more. And so we were being healed and stretched at the same time, and we've grown as a result of it. And I appreciate it so much. And I appreciate the word today, and I know each of you did. So we just give her one more hand of thanksgiving. And we thank you, Lord, for this vessel. We thank you for the vessel, the gift that she is to the body. So, Father, we just ask that you bless those who are here, that you would send send angels with them, that traveling mercies would be upon them as they head home or to the various points and destinations today. May they have traveling mercies, and may this be a blessed Labor Day weekend. Father, this is such an opportunity to be light among family and friends. Let us be just that, in Jesus' name. Amen.